Blog Talk Radio.
Having sex at 11 years old, is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes,
wow.
At 11 years old. And I'm not, you know, I was never proud of it.
Right.
But today I can testify openly because Jesus has set me free from that lifestyle.
Wow, that's powerful that you can even share that, man. That is amazing. So tell us what that's like. Your mother passing, you start having sex at 11, you're into drugs, you're obviously involved with guys at the time. What begins to happen in your mind and in your soul at this point in your life?
Well, I started, I felt like I was just in this dark tunnel. You know, I had no hope, and, you know, my identity had changed so much from, you know, being this little girl that made straight A's and that had this good home life, you know, a lot younger with my mother, and then my father was in the picture for, you know, a few years anyway. And so, you know, my identity was still normal, as the world would say. We wasn't Christians, but my identity totally changed to where I didn't really know my purpose anymore. I didn't know if I was of any value at all, because I thought, you know, I had nobody. Everything that I had was taken away from me. My parents, you know, I had my sisters and I had a brother at the time. He lived in Utah. And so, you know, my sisters were probably the closest thing to me, my two older sisters. And I had relatives, but I wasn't really close to them because I drew myself back from everybody in my family. And because I felt like, you know, my mom was gone, and so you're not my mom, and you're not going to be speaking in my life. I rejected authority in every area of my life after that, and because I felt like I wasn't loved anymore. Everything that I loved and that loved me was gone. And so I began to look for love in all the wrong places. You know, and you hear people say that sometimes, but I really did. I really got into some dark places in my life to where, you know, I was involved with people that were in gangs. And I lived around Middle Tennessee, going from house to house, house to house. And so I met a lot of different people at this time. And when I was meeting these people, it wasn't the right people. And I was craving that sense of love, and I felt like love at that time was getting affections, getting feelings and emotions. I didn't know that real love is the love of God. And so for me, I was just gratifying my flesh with this feeling that I wanted, which I thought was love, and it wasn't love. Or I was gratifying my flesh with drugs and alcohol. I used to love to drink alcohol. I mean, at 13, I could go in the liquor store and get anything I wanted. And that's for real. I mean, I could go in, get anything I wanted. I had hookups, and I looked older for my age. I carried myself older for my age. And so, you know, my identity began to be in drugs and drinking and sex. And it wasn't in who I used to be and who my mom told me I was or who my dad told me I was. He always told me I was a leader. I wasn't a follower. And, you know, there was things that my mom put in me, you know, as far as being a child of God. She didn't know how to teach me like I'm taught now. But there's seeds that she did plant in me. And so when you're at a young age, and I just encourage, you know, all the parents that have children that are in broken homes, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're not in a position to love your children, to look out for them. Because if you don't love them, they're going to get love from somewhere else, and it's going to be the wrong kind of love. It's going to be, you know, the devil's going to send somebody to make them feel like they're loved, and they're really not loved. It's lust. And, you know, for me, I was in a lot of different promiscuous relationships. I turned into a whore. And I didn't, you know, it wasn't about taking money, because a whore is somebody who gives their body over when they're not in a covenant. And when you're going around and you're dressing and you're, you know, needing that attention, that's what whores do. But a lot of them are just making money for it. And I wasn't. I was selling my body to the devil all the time, but I wasn't making money for it. And it ruined my identity. It ruined my perspective on life, my value, everything about me. You know, I totally disrespected my body, and I didn't believe that I could ever come out of it the way I was. And I started getting hope probably around the age of 16, a little bit of hope. But then it spiraled right back down because I never came to the truth when I was 16. So, you know, I got involved with Ouija boards, and I got involved with, you know, people that were in gangs. And so when you open yourself up to demonic influence like that, devils come in and they really start controlling you in areas you don't even realize they're controlling you in. And I remember at the age of 14, because I was a runaway 6 to 9 months out of the year until I was 18. And so I remember when I was 14, I'd went down to Birmingham, Alabama, and I got taught then how to sell dope to prostitutes, how to carry a pistol, how to cook crack, and at 14 years old. And when my sister that loves me found out, you know, she sent me back to Tennessee. But those soulish ties that you have with relationships and selling drugs, doing drugs, you know, it really takes a toll on your life, your mind. It darkens your thinking. And a lot of people don't realize, you know, when you come into to really getting born again and Jesus really comes in your heart and you really surrender to him, he has to start ruling you to where those devils can't rule you anymore. It takes the blood of Jesus to penetrate those devils because they really had a hold on me. And if it wasn't for Jesus and my pastor taking authority over them and making them leave, they wouldn't have left because I had so much rebellion there.
So let's make sure we have this picture painted really clearly. By the time you are 14, your mother has passed, which has been absolutely devastating because your father's already had been out of the picture for a while. She's passed. You're devastated. You've been having sex for several years by this time. You know how to cook crack, sell dope, carry pistols. You have no home base of foundation as far as your living arrangements, no real accountability to anybody. I think you shared with me that you never stayed in one place more than 6 months or a year for your entire life until, like, you were, what, 18 or 19 or somewhere in there?
It was from the time I was 11 to 82, actually until I was 21, was the first year that I had lived somewhere a full year without moving when I was 21.
Wow. Man, I want people to hear that stuff, man, because that is a very dark picture. And if people could see you, and I'm sure even hearing you, I mean, you're articulating these things so well now, and of course you're aware that it was demonic influence, but for people to know where you came from and how dark your life was, the kind of person you were, the bondages you had, and what your lifestyle was like, for them to hear you talk about where your life is today and Jesus changing you, which we're gonna get to all that, but I want to make sure that, because it's very rare, particularly with women, that you hear somebody be so candid about their sexuality and how much bondage they were in as far as lust and just admitting to whorish behavior, because, you know, if you're not free, if you don't really know you're forgiven, it can be very embarrassing. And so, man, if people saw you, they would not even know any of you. You could never dream that you would have the history that you would have if they knew what you look like and how you carry yourself. And so, man, it's really important for people to see that no matter where you have come from and no matter how dark it is, man, the Lord is able to do miracles in your life. And I want to get into, share with, we haven't talked about you having your daughter, at what point she came along, the relationship you were in with the man that you had your daughter with, and how that impacted your life. Tell us a little bit about that, where you were in your life at the time you had your daughter, how that might have changed your life, your perspective, the relationship you were in at the time, and the role that person played in your life.
Okay. Well, I had been with Michaela. She's my daughter, and I actually had her in August of 2003, and Michaela, me and her dad were together. We met when I was 11, right before I turned 12. And so we've been through a lot together through those years. I'd done a lot for him. He done a lot for me. And we never knew that it would end up being, you know, having a child together, though. But I was 18, and at the time, I had got my GED the year before, and so I had been to Gulf Shores twice that summer, and me and him was kind of like on and off. You know, you know, in the world, you have your guys or your girls, you know, you have your hookups. And so
right.
For me and him, it was like we could just hook up, you know, anytime we needed each other, we'd hook up. And and you know, I wasn't really wanting to be committed to him. You know, he wanted to be more committed to me than I wanted to be to him. But I finally felt like, okay, hey, I'm 18. I'm finally free out of this system. You know, because that system I was in, just I was just so bound. And so I said, you know, I'm going to move to Gulf Shores. And I met somebody down there. He said, you can stay with me while you go to college. I was going to go to college, and I thought, wow, I finally get a fresh start, and I can just, you know, live my life the way that I really want to. I want a good life. I was tired of having drama and darkness and devils tormenting me all the time, and I thought, okay, I'm going to move down there. And so I had this planned. I was going to move down there February of 2002, and so that summer, I come back from Gulf Shores. About 2 or 3 weeks later, Derek says, it's Michaela's dad, he says, Tara, you know, you're pregnant. And I said, no, I'm not pregnant. And he said, oh, yeah, you are. I know you are. I said, no, I'm really not pregnant. And he knew the symptoms that I didn't know. And because he had a little girl prior, like 4 years older than what I had Michaela. So he told me, and he said, you need to go get a pregnancy test. And I went and got a pregnancy test. And I took 2 or 3 pregnancy tests, not wanting to believe that these pregnancy tests were telling me that I'm pregnant. And, of course, you know, after the second one, I thought, wow, this cannot be true. I'm just going to take one more. And I took another one. And he's sitting there like, yep, I got you. Because he didn't want me to go nowhere. And he wanted me to himself.
So he was happy that you were pregnant because he felt like it would lock you into a relationship with him.
Yes. Yes, he had a very controlling and manipulative spirit. He, you know, he had good qualities about him, but he had those spirits. And a lot of those girls, the majority of them that I know that are out in the world today, they have boyfriends that are like that. And so he had this real, it was the wrong kind of controlling spirit, you know, it was demonic. And so he
now,
said, well, I...
Now, were you surprised to be pregnant? Had you been taking precaution to try to not get pregnant, or was it a shock
that
you could be pregnant?
But it was still a shock because we would still, you know, we would try to, you know, do our best to... I didn't like taking pills and stuff, so... but it was still a shock to me. And, you know, it shouldn't have been, but it was. And so at that point, I was really upset. And I said, this cannot be true, because I thought I finally get to start something with my life. And I felt like because me being pregnant and we're not married, you know, we have no kind of home life, he's not financially stable, nothing like that, you know, that here we go again, you know, it's like another downward spiral in my life, just
like
something that's going to be bringing.
Now, I want to pause right here for a second, because I think this is something important for people to hear that I don't know how much it gets touched on, but there are so many young girls who, like yourself, were living in the world. They're, of course, without knowing it, they're totally influenced by the devil. They are damaged, hurt, but they, at the same time, are probably trying to recuperate and have a better life. Like you said, you were trying to go to college and you were trying to live your life and have a higher quality of life. And then they end up getting pregnant by somebody that they don't even want to have children with. They might want to mess with the person a little bit. They might not mind having sex with them from time to time and getting whatever feeling, but they don't want to have children with them, but they end up getting pregnant anyway. And so I think it's so important for people to hear, man, when you're out there and you're not serving the Lord and Jesus has no control over your life, you make decisions that are so boneheaded, you don't even know you're making it. It would amaze me that somebody would get pregnant and you didn't want to get pregnant. Like, it's like you don't have to get pregnant. Like, it's such a big deal. It would shock me when I would hear about people getting pregnant and they didn't want to get pregnant. Like it was an accident. And of course, we know accidental pregnancies are the most common kind of pregnancies, but they don't have to happen. We know exactly how people get pregnant, and we know exactly all the different types of precautions we can take for it not to happen. But I said all that to say, man, when you're out there and you're just living any kind of way, man, you're just oblivious. And I think to myself, man, it's amazing that I didn't have any kids before I got married and actually had a child with my wife. But, man, it's amazing. Were you frustrated with yourself at this time when you realized you were pregnant? Because you shared about how you felt trapped and you weren't really excited about your pregnancy. You felt more trapped into this relationship that you didn't really want to be in, at least not like that.
Yes, I was very frustrated. I was frustrated with myself. I was frustrated with him because, you know, here he is. He's happy. He's smiling. He's like, well, I have you now. And I'm like, no, you don't have me now. I really hated feeling like, you know, they had me. You know, I didn't like that. And, the type of personality that I had, the pattern that I had all those years as a runner, you know, you're so hurt, you never let your heart get attached to somebody. And so when you feel like they're trying to get that attachment, you know, with you, you back up and you go the opposite direction. And so that's how it was. Even though we was together on and off for 12 years, I still would not let him know that he has my heart, just because I always had a challenge there. And I didn't like somebody having that place to where they could hurt it like my dad and my mom did. And so I'm frustrated, and I'm having all these thoughts, like, you know, all these crazy thoughts. What do I do? And I'm really contemplating on what to do. I didn't want to have an abortion. I knew how hurtful that is. But I was having thoughts, you know, and then I didn't know. I knew I couldn't go to Gulf Shores and with this baby, and I couldn't just take her away from her daddy and then leave all of our family, you know. And so I remember crying out to the Lord. I didn't know him, but I knew enough to cry out to him. And I was asking him what to do, that I was miserable. I didn't want to live anymore. I was just miserable. And I'd been in those times before where I didn't want to live. But my sister calls, one of my sisters. And at this time, she was living in Alabama. And she was on fire for God at the time. And so she calls. And I knew if she told me something from the Lord, I would believe it, because I saw her fruit. I saw her life totally changed. And so I knew if she said the Lord told her something, I would believe it. And that's how I am today with anybody that I see real fruit in. And so she said, Tara, she called me. She said, I know you're not knowing what to do about this baby. She said, but I have a word to tell you that the Lord gave me last night. She said, this baby belongs to the Lord, and this baby is going to do a mighty work, a great work for God. And you're not to do nothing with this child. And she said, the hand of God's on this child. And so immediately that stopped every question I was having. And I humbled myself to what she said. And I didn't have no more confusion, no more questions about it. And I remember, because I left him for a couple weeks. I just left. I got away from him. And I went back to him, and I told him what my sister said. And so at that point, you know, we tried to work things out, get a place together. Well, he was on drugs on and off, and I didn't want to continue being around that while I was pregnant. Even though I would go around, I didn't want to continue being around it. And because he got on crack, he was smoking crack. And I would go and stay with a friend of mine's mom, and they helped me out for a little bit. Well, it came to the point where when I had Michaela, he was still using. It just wasn't as bad. And we had a place of our own. And, you know, it was good for a little while as far as, you know, us getting along and stuff after she was born. I fell in love with her. You know, I didn't know that a heart of a mother could actually, you know, fall in love with a baby like that. As much as I didn't want to have a baby at first, and then once I had her, I just adored her. And she was with me everywhere I went for the longest. And so I remember, you know, telling him that, you know, that we can make this work because of her. And I wanted her to grow up totally different than the way we were raised, because he wasn't raised with his father either. His father had died when he was little. And so, and he went through a lot of stuff as a teenager. He started getting involved in the wrong kind of influence. And so I said, you know, Derek, this is the thing. If we stay together, we're going to have to do what's right for Michaela, and we're going to have to start going to church. And I was really
that kind of mindset without really having given the Lord your heart yourself. You had the mindset that you at least knew what was going to be best for your daughter, and you wanted that for her.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. Well, let's fast forward a little bit, because I want to get, you've got so much to share that I want to make sure that we get to. Now, let's fast forward a little bit to where, share with us, I guess, kind of briefly, while also getting across the point, how you came to the church that you're at now, how you came to know the pastor that you have now and really got your life changed. How did that come about to where you actually came to church and got really introduced to Jesus and got taught how to really walk with him? How did that come about?
Well, like I said, I started having this, you know, desire to be in church. And I remember there was a Pentecostal church that I had actually visited a few times before. So we went and we dedicated Michaela to the Lord. You know, they had a dedication, and some of his family members went there, and so they knew the pastor, and he, you know, dedicated Michaela and everything. She was only a couple of weeks old. So during this year of her life, she started getting sick at about probably 11 months old. She started getting sick with bronchitis, pneumonia. Just stuff started happening, and he starts getting back on drugs again. He just starts using again. And so at this point, you know, for me, I still had the desire to drink. I mean, I loved drinking in the world, but I knew I could not continue to do that and raise her like I wanted to raise her. I knew there had to be a change in me in order to raise her the way I perceived, you know, like a normal family would at the time. And so I said, no, I would reject it. And I started just praying and asking the Lord to rescue me. And I remember there was nights where it was so bad. The violence was so bad. We had an abusive relationship at times. And so it would just get rough. It was just tormenting. And I thought, if I could ever get out of this, you know, I would be so happy. And I remember I went and I got on my knees and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you deliver me out of this relationship, I will serve you. And the reason why it was hard to break away, you know, because some people would say, why didn't you just leave? You, when you're in a relationship and they really have your heart and you have that soul tie and you've been with them on and off for 12 years, and there's devils connected to that, to where it's a stronghold. I didn't realize that the enemy, you know, was the devil himself and his demons that were involved in this relationship. They had a stronghold on him and me. And it was like he couldn't get loose from it and I couldn't get loose from it. No matter how much we tried, it just wasn't happening. And so it was going to take the power of God to come in and to intervene by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just got on my knees and I said, Lord, I ask you, if you deliver me from this relationship, I will serve you. And 14 months old, Michaela was 14 months old, there was a couple of guys from our church that came, Brother Tony and Brother Stan, and they came to my house. It was October the 9th of 2004. And they knocked on my door, and at this point in time, when they knocked on my door, I thought, I hope this ain't somebody coming to get some drugs, you know, because we would, you know, he would have drugs on him sometimes and sell drugs still. I didn't do that anymore since I had her. But I thought, I'm not answering the door, because we just got out of the hospital like 4 hours prior to that, because she was so sick. And I said, well, I'm going to get up. And I answered the door. And they said, we're not, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses or anything. We just wanted to come by here and tell you that Jesus loves you and that God has a plan for your life. And we just wanted to ask you, is there anything we can pray with you about? And immediately when they said that, I thought, wow, you know, my daughter is sick. And so I told them, I said, well, I just got out of the hospital with my daughter. Will you pray for her? Because she's 14 months old. And she's really sick, and I told him what was wrong with her. I said, but I don't want you coming in the house because I don't want her to wake up. It's her first time of sleeping in days. And so they said, oh, no, we don't have to come in. We'll just pray. The Lord can touch her. We don't have to touch her. He'll touch her. And I thought, you know, if this really happens, then, and this is miraculous. And so they said, we'll pray for her right here. And they prayed for her while we're standing on my front porch. And so then they said, well, is there anything else we can pray with you about? And that opened up my heart after they prayed for her, and I started telling them. I said, well, this, this, and this, and that. And so I told them a few different things that was going on, and they prayed with me. And then all of a sudden, they prayed for me, and the presence of God came on me, and I began to just weep and tell the Lord how sorry I was. And at that moment, my heart started changing. And they asked me, they said, Tara, will you just promise us one thing? And I said, what is that? And they said, will you come to church in the morning where we go to church at? They said, because you're experiencing the love of God and His presence right now. He said, and if you come to our church, you're going to experience it way more than what you're experiencing it now. And so with them saying that, you know, I thought, wow, if this is, you know, if there's way more than this, I definitely want to come. And so they left my house, and I remember that day I was just blown away by how the presence of God had touched me so strong. I had visited different churches, but it was different. And so,
wow, that is so powerful, Tara. I want to make sure that we get in some other stuff because you've shared something so powerful that leads to something else that I want to get to, that you got touched by God. And there's something about people whose heart is really, because you had already cried out to God, probably didn't know how to, didn't know a lot of the word, but something in your heart wanted the Lord and wanted Him to change your life. And, man, He came and answered that. But I found in people that even if they have that experience, they don't end up going that far with it if they don't get somewhere where they can get taught how to walk with the Lord. And you actually did that and came to church. And so let's fast forward a little bit. You've come to church. You're starting to get taught the word. You're growing. Tell us what begins to happen with you and your relationship with Derek, and then lead us up into where you guys get engaged to get married, and then what happens at that point, because there's something so pivotal, as you shared with me last Sunday at our pastor's house, man, you made a decision that I've really, you're the only person that I've ever known to make this decision, and it ended up being so pivotal in your life, in your daughter's life, and even Derek's life, and I want to get to what ends up happening with him and how it all hinged on you having this experience with the Lord that you just shared, but also coming to get taught and getting submitted to where you have a pastor who can speak in your life, man, and you avoided something, man, so crucial. You made a decision that was so powerful and ended up impacting everybody's life. And so share with us what begins to happen as you get taught, how you and Derek eventually get to the point where you're engaged, and what happens the night before you guys are supposed to actually go and formalize your marriage, because you already have the wedding certificate. Take us through this process kind of quickly, if you grow, because I want to get into the supernatural experiences that you've had that are on down the line, so that people can really see, man, how God's changed your life and how he's using you and just where he's brought you from. And so share with us real quick how you got to the point as far as getting taught and you were able to make that decision that you made that night before you guys got married.
Okay. Well, we had got our marriage license, as you said, and because we went through our 4 hours of counseling with Pastor. And so, you know, the next day, this is on, I can't remember what night this is on, to be honest. It was so long ago, but I know that we had made plans to get married, to go to the courthouse and get married the very next day. And I get a phone call from Pastor Scales, my pastor.
Now, hold on.
For 10
pause
years
one
now.
Second. Pause one second, because I wanna ask you this question so that people can hear this, because I'm sure they probably learned a lot from watching or listening to when Eric interviewed me regarding relationships and just how pivotal they are in your life, which ones you enter into, who you get yoked together with. But in your heart, because I know at this time, you know, you're really growing and walking with the Lord and getting taught. What was your real sense? I know you had emotions and ties to Derek, as you shared, but what was your real sense in terms of where he was spiritually and were you guys really equally yoked? Was this really who God had for you? What was your sense of that at the time, even before you got the call from Pastor Scales?
Okay. Well, you know, at the time, he wasn't walking with the Lord. And
right.
I knew in my heart that he really didn't want Jesus like I did. But I was willing, you know, because I didn't want to sin against the Lord and have sex anymore. It hurt me the first time I'd done it. I literally cried. I didn't keep practicing it either. And so he knew that was the only way for us to get married, pretty much, and for us to keep having that relationship that we was having was to get married. And so, you know, he came to church, and he was coming, you know, with me, for me. He wasn't coming based on the fact that he really was wanting the Lord. He was doing it for me. And he said that he believed that if he got married to me, that, you know, his life would change, he would change, in which we all know that that don't happen when you do it for somebody else. But at the time, I really wanted Michaela to have both of her parents in the home. I wanted her to be raised by her mother and father. You know, it was my heart's desire, and so I was willing to do this in order to have that for her. And
now,
that was my main focus, was for her.
Now, I want people to hear that, because there are some people listening to this and that are going to listen to it. And I'm talking about people who are not married, but people who whose heart has gotten after the Lord, who really want the Lord, and they are currently involved with somebody who they know doesn't want the Lord like they do. And they know in their heart that it's not really the will of God for them to be with this person. But like you and like many other people, they maintain that relationship, even though they know it's not from God, even though, and it's even stronger if they have a child with this person and they want to keep the family together because of the child. But they're not married yet, but they are considering and getting engaged to and planning on marrying somebody that they know does not walk with God and that the Lord has not led them to marry. And that's what you were getting ready to do. And so I wanted you to share that, because before we get to the call you get from Pastor Scales and what you, the decision you end up making, and then what happens on down the line, I want people to see how crucial it can be, the decision you make with who you, because this is a lot of people's biggest area in terms of walking with the Lord, is who they choose to be with. Are they willing to break emotional ties? Are they willing to stop having sex? Sex and all that plays such a big role in it. And so I wanted people to hear where you were at, being somebody who was really walking with the Lord, growing. As you said, you had been touched by God, but you were still willing to be with this person that you loved. You really loved them. You had ties with them, but you knew it wasn't from God, and you knew that he wasn't walking with the Lord, and he was really just pacifying you and doing what would enable you to stay with him, I guess, with the clearest conscience that you could have. And I wanted people to hear that so they know and can grasp the gravity of this before we get on to what you're getting ready to share and what ends up happening. So take us into the night before you guys get married, and Pastor Scales calls him, and what does he say?
Well, the night that, you know, we're at my house, and he's in the bed asleep at this time. We was not sinning against the Lord. We wasn't having sex, but yes, we stayed in the same house together, which you can't really do that walking with the Lord. You put a compromise in, and you open up doors spiritually that you're not aware of, that devils can really start picking at you with. And so, but, you know, because we was about to get married, I thought it was okay that, you know, we're fixing to wake up and go get married. And so, and he knew we had to wait. And so the next, that night, we are asleep. My phone rings at about 12:30. And I look at the caller ID, and it's my pastor. And for my pastor to call me, you know, at 12:30, he never, ever used to call me at 12:30 at night, ever. I knew the Lord had then told him something for him to call me that late. And so my heart started beating. It felt like it just dropped to the floor. I mean, because I knew it was going to be something. And so I pick up the phone, and of course, you know, I knew it was him, and he said hello. And he told me, he said, Tara, he said, I've had a vision of you tonight. He said, I was praying in the spirit. He said, I was praying for you and for other people at the church. He said, but your face came before me. He said, and the Lord told me to call you and tell you something. And I knew for him to say the Lord did, that he wasn't playing. He don't play when it comes to his words. And one thing, I will say this, I could receive from him what he said from the Lord, because every time he came to church and he would say, the Lord said this, I would always see it come to pass. So I had grew to respect his words, because I had never respected a man's words before that, really respected them. And so I really respected his words at that point, you know, to know he's for real. And so when he said, Tara, he said, the Lord told me to call and tell you that if you marry Derek, that you're going to go all the way back and you're going to be worse than what you ever was before. And he said, not only that, he said, but I saw something real bad's going to happen a few years down the road. And at that point, you know, I kind of started tearing up, and I said, well, can you tell me what that bad is? And he said, no, I can't. The Lord's not letting me tell you that, because you have to make the decision what you're going to do. And because I knew we were unequally yoked. And the Bible says, you know, not to be unequally yoked together. And I knew that once I married him, you know, like you said, my conscience, it would support my conscience if I married him, because we wouldn't be sinning against God in our bodies anymore. So when Pastor told me, he said, Terry, said something bad's going to happen, and he wouldn't tell me what it was. And I said, well, okay, Pastor. He said, I'm going to let you make the decision. He said, this is your decision. It's not mine. He said, but I will tell you that I'm going to love you. I'm still going to be your pastor. And I said, yes, sir.
Well, Sarah,
and I hung up the phone.
We are going to have to continue this, because I hate to leave folks on a cliffhanger, but you're going to have to come back to share that decision you made and what the impact was on down the road, because it is so crucial and people need to hear it and what the Lord did in your life through that decision. But we're going to have to pick it up again next time. You're going to have to come back because this has been such a blessing. We love you so much, and I'm so glad you came on. And this is the Choose to Joy broadcast. I'm filling in for my brother Eric Roberts, and he will be back with you guys, man. We love you so much. Hope you got blessed by the broadcast. And we'll pick it up again tomorrow with Tara sharing her testimony about what the Lord did in her life. Thank you guys so much. We love you.
Praise God.